It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Royal Blue Podcast. I am Matt Jones and joining me today for a special edition to talk about all things Everton. Takeovers or not takeovers, we'll see where it goes. This is Dave Pyle, who is the Chief Business of Football Writer for Reach PLC. Dave, how are you doing?
Delighted to come on. It's been a little while, but there's... Yeah, plenty to talk about, digest. It's been another mad week for Everton off the way of kind of what happens off the pitch. Seems to take more press than what goes on it at the minute. So, but yeah, so much to unpick.
Absolutely. It feels like every now and then we get to a point with Everton where it's like we need to get Dave in to come and pick this for us all because it does go over a lot of our heads. So, no, I really appreciate your time. We are live on YouTube as well, if you're watching this. We've got to go through some questions you've had in on Twitter already for Dave, but if you've got any comments, any thoughts or any questions on this situation, do leave them below and we'll try and get through as many as we can in the next half an hour or so. But we are recording this, Dave, at 2:30 on Thursday. I think it's important to stress that because this is fast moving and it's like trying to pin down water at the moment, isn't it? Trying to find out what's going on with Everton and the takeover. But I'm sure supporters out there would have seen lots of reports about 777, lawsuits, and then obviously some today about MSP and them potentially coming back into the fold. But as we sit here right now, as you understand it, what is the latest on Everton's takeover?
Well, I mean, we've for quite some time now, it's been, I mean, the kind of the trickle of bad news emanating from the 777 side has kind of intensified and gathered pace. Beginning of last week, we found out that their PR company, who they've been using it to advise them, joined the list of people that claiming hadn't been paid. And since then, it's kind of been a bit of a snowball effect. Obviously, the Bonzer Airline in the US, where they are, you know, majority owners of, that went into voluntary administration and had its assets frozen by, well, not its assets frozen, but the planes which it had on lease reclaimed by the people who were lending 777 money in the first place, ACAP. So that's last week. We're not even got into this week yet. Beginning of this week, there was a civil suits lawsuits filed in New York by a London-based company called Leadenhall Capital who'd loaned 777 money, allegedly, whereby the issue being that they had collateral for the loan was actually either didn't exist, they claim, or wasn't owned by properties owned by 777. So that has arrived this week, and that's considerable because, I mean, already we've seen that in last month it was a case of the company which I mentioned with their ACAP who'd been using, who 777 had been using to kind of finance their activities, an element of kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul almost, you know. It's always someone else's money, so that they were instructed by two state regulators in the US to reduce their exposure to them, which meant that the access to capital has diminished for 777. So we have now reached this point whereby they've got all these conditions which the Premier League set out, those four caveats of what they had to do in order to acquire the club, which all told would have made, you know, which would have rounded out to more than 300 million. They've got to try and find the money for that without having access to the capital they did. And there's been a real problem. This Leadenhall issue has, I think it's almost going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I mean, Mashiri's, we understand, met with 777 reps, one in particular in London this week, to discuss trying to find some clarity over the situation. But my reading of that is, and from some people I've spoken to, is that it is basically, he needs to try to ascertain whether or not they have the financial wherewithal to complete the deal, which I think now is becoming more and more apparent they haven't, certainly within the timescales that they would need to be required to for the Premier League, and as well as the fact that Everton are going to need another lump sum of working capital to get through the next month, etc., and through to the end of the summer. So I think it's a case of now things are starting to accelerate a little. Now, MSP Sports Capital have been in the background since beginning of 2023, when they were going to come on, take a minority position through convertible debt, which deal didn't happen in the end because of objections from another lender that Everton have got, Rights and Media Funding Limited, because they thought that would dilute their security they had on their own loans. So, but they had an option on their security for their financing they provided was on Mashiri's Blue Heaven Holdings, of which he owns Everton through, so whereby they could take a stake in, you know, they could take a controlling stake in the event of a default. Now, if one of the conditions of the Premier League was supposed to be that 777 repay this £158 million loan to MSP by its maturity date of April 15th, that didn't happen. They got an extension, and here we are. You know, there are people on who could step into the breach, MSP being one of them. And I think we're going to start to see things move quite quickly now because it's becoming more and more apparent. I think, crucially, more and more apparent to Farhad Mashiri that the people he chose to acquire the football club 7 months ago now are shown to not have the funding in place to complete.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I mean, there's plenty to unpack there. And, I mean, apologies if I ask any of these in a very ham-fisted sort of business-like way.
I'll give a ham-fisted answer.
But it's from your point of view, was it always going to end up like this with 777? Because it feels as though, you know, use the phrase there, Robin Peters to pay Paul. And I think since they first came onto the scene, there was always a bit of an undercurrent of that from when people came to describe them. But it feels as though what's happened the last week with these lawsuits, what's been going on in the States, and then a few other little stories around it. But that situation and this process is probably the wrong word, but them getting to this point now where it's like they haven't really got any money has been exacerbated and expedited a little bit. But was it always going to end up this way for them, do you think?
I think they arrived into English football and wanted to buy a Premier League side, not realising the level of scrutiny that comes with trying to acquire a club in England, especially a club like Everton. They have a string of other football clubs, Standard Liège, Red Star Paris, Hertha Berlin, Genoa, Melbourne, Victory in Australia, all with varying degrees of success and some considerable failures along the way. Maybe we've only seen stories this week about Standard Liège players allegedly not being paid. But there are already kind of red flags that appeared when they first arrive on the scene over some things, but you know they'd have a reason for it, or they were late with this, late with that. There's always a reason for it. But the level of scrutiny that's come now has kind of opened up kind of Pandora's box a little bit and exposed some of the other issues that they had around the business and just how you go about financing an acquisition like this. And the longer it's gone on and the more they've committed in terms of capital to it, it's now over 200 million of other people's money as well, remember. It's not Josh Wander or Stephen Pascoe just fronting this from their current account. This is other people's money. It has become more and more difficult. And that ACAP thing is that I mentioned earlier about, because they've been providing financing because they have a pre-existing relationship. A guy called Kenny King runs ACAP. He's associate of Wander. That relationship is now, he's starting to divest his interest from 777 related entities, so that tap is gone. So they've had to go and search other avenues, and it's hard to raise capital when there's so many, you know, they've got more red flags than like a Chinese Labour Day, you know. They've got so many, and it's causing real, no one is going to be queuing up to loan them money for this. Also, you have the issue, it never really made sense, because when you load a business with debt, you have to kind of you have to try and make it cash flow positive. Everton isn't, you know, it's hemorrhaging cash. Because when you load something with debt, you have to repay that debt, you have to service it. I know we look at the stadium as being, you know, this is going to be the thing which solves all problems. Yeah, it's going to play a big part in helping solve problems in the future, but it's not here yet. And they're still having to find money to finance that. And they're just loading more and more debt, which they're not going to be able to service because they're cash flow negative. So that's the issue. That was what really rankled. It didn't make sense, you know, why they wanted to do it, and what smarts they thought they were bringing to the table to be able to turn this around hadn't really been demonstrated to a great degree anywhere else. Genoa, you can argue, to be fair, that they have done some elements of positive things there to try and turn that club around, but it's a different situation here. This is the Premier League, you know, everything is the cost of everything is times 10. And level of scrutiny that comes with it, and also it just they never seem to have the answers to the key questions of how this is going to run as a sustainable business moving forward. And obviously they've seen the stadium as being this huge asset which they're going to have eventually if they acquire the club, but you know it's hard to imagine a point now where 777 acquire Everton Football Club. I think we're moving to the point where it's dead in the world.
And just finally on 777 before we broaden it out a little bit, obviously they are going to be connected to Everton in some sense, because Everton have taken £180 million there or thereabouts from them to service the run of the club over the last few months. What's going to happen to that now in that sense? And I know I've spoken to you before about this, and it's sort of confused me, but it's not going to be a situation where they can sort of bang the fist on the table to whoever is in charge of Everton next and say, "We want our money back now," is it? It's going to be a bit more of a drawn-out process than that.
The loans they provided to Everton aren't secured loans, so they're unsecured loans. So reason being is that a lot of the security that was had was taken up by other creditors. So Rights and Media Funding Limited have some security in the stadium. MSP had some security on Blue Heaven Holdings, etc. Metro Bank have similar securities. They provided what's called junior debt, so it's unsecured debt. So they will have a right to get their money back, but they are well behind in the queue for everyone else in terms of getting their money back. They are last in the queue.
So parties are ahead?
So there's Metro Bank, there's RMF, there's MSP, there's this kind of, you know, George Downing, Andy Bell, etc. You know, there's other other kind of credits in there that they are behind, and they are unsecured debt. So they provided this money thinking that it was never going to be an issue for them because they were going to get clearance, they were going to be able to get over the line with the Premier League. And now it's becoming apparent that they aren't going to. So the Premier League gave conditional approval last month for the deal. But if you look at those conditions, they are... the bar is so high that it would be difficult for any kind of, you know, even serious, legitimate contenders to buy a football club to meet some of these. And that's why, I think maybe that's why the Premier League have done it. I mean, I don't want to give the Premier League too much credit with anything, given what's happened. And I think they've just, you know, there's an element of just trying to make up some element of a rule to kick the can a bit further down the road, but make it look like they've done something. But maybe they've made it to the... as difficult as they can, so they don't acquire the club. But again, that's probably giving them way too much credit than they deserve. But yeah, they just fall behind the rest of the creditors, and that they you know, they could get the money back. But for 777, their issue now, if they don't get Evan, is their own survival moving forward, given some of these court proceedings that exist in various countries. So, I mean, they've got their own assets that they're managing in terms of football clubs, but it's hard to imagine now that, like I said, that they get close to Everton. That seems to be, you know, and I think Mashiri's starting to maybe come on board with that way of thinking, given the way things have happened. I imagine we might start to see some movement on that in the coming weeks. I would be very surprised if 777 complete an acquisition of Everton, but also, I'd be equally surprised if the Premier League allowed that to happen, given what, even from where they provided these four caveats that they had to meet, given what we know now, it would seem completely negligent.
Yeah. Just a reminder, we are live on YouTube. If people have got a question for Dave or any other points they want to make about the takeover in the next few minutes or so as we go through it. But sort of throwing this forward a little bit there, mate, obviously we've got a situation now where this one looks like it's on the brink of collapse in regards to 777. Obviously we've had statements this week from the Everton Shareholders Association and the Fan Advisory Board, sort of focusing on 777, on the Premier League and on Farhad Mashiri. And just wanted to focus a little bit on Mashiri and what's going to come next for him, because is it one of those where he actively has to do anything? Does he have to look for other sellers, or is this going to be sort of out of his hands a little bit now going forward?
He's still the owner, and however much he wants to try and remove himself from that position and remove the onus of responsibility on him, he is the owner of Everton Football Club still. And it is on his shoulders to ensure that... we always talk about... there is no... we've gone past the point now with Farhad Mashiri where there is, you could, you know, there is a real, you can start to look at the positives of what positive legacy he might leave, because there's been so much which has gone on, which is almost unforgivable. I mean, it's taken the club to the brink. You know, yes, the stadium will be a positive when it's delivered, but it's come at such a huge cost to everything. It's taken fans' patience to the breaking point. It's taken the club as a financially, competitively, to the brink. He has to now lead from the front to see this down the home stretch, really. Yeah. So whether that's engaging with people that are pre-existing, people that are already in the building, so MSP, or finding someone else to come in. But either way, he's going to have to take a bit of a bath here so some of the money. He's not getting much money out of it. You know, that's gone. You know, that he is going to have to try and find a way out now to save face, but he's not going to save much on his wallet. It's that's gone. It's been in terms of investments, it's up there with some of the worst that people have made in football, you know, in terms of money which has been sunk and lost. And I don't think, when I've said this previously, I don't think when he arrived, I think he came with the best intentions of create, you know, bridging that gap, breaking that top six monopoly that exists up, but it's just kind of, it's unraveled, and it now is, you know, it went past the point of no return.
Sure.
So it's a case now he has to find the best solution for Everton, which gives it a chance to, it's not even about finding the successor who will take Everton to the next level now, it's about finding someone, even if it's for 12-18 months, to wash Everton's face, clean it up, make it presentable to someone who can be that person. Yeah. It's not, it, you know, that's where it's at. It needs someone to come in, clean up a lot of a mess, and take quite a cold, hard look at it as a business, and not just try and chase season after season, hoping that the next season is going to be there. You know, it has to be, I think it's going to have to be quite a cold, hard approach to first and foremost making this a business again, where it's cash flow positive, as well as much as some Premier League teams can be, you know.
Sure.
Football clubs are a loss-making business. That's the way it is, but some lose more than others. And obviously we've seen that with Everton. That's been the crux of the problems in terms of PSR, etc. So that's what he needs to do. He needs to find someone who can mind the shop effectively, which he has not been able to do. Either he can't or he won't fund the club further. Either way, the same decision needs has to be made. He has to find someone who can do that over the next 18 months to allow the football club to reset, but still in the Premier League, and ensure that by the time 2025, 26 comes, and they've got a new, you know, they're starting the season at Brand, you know, in the stadium at Brandy Moor Dock, they're a Premier League team with some hope rather than just the constant drudge and pessimism. I mean, because that's what, it's only going to get worse if he doesn't act now.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And that called those people be MSG, because I think, again, overnight, they're obviously very strong reports, I think, from Bloomberg initially, where they're sort of looking at them as potential who could come in and take over again. Obviously, a name that was being bandied around a lot 12 to 18 months ago. The issue with Right Media Funding meant that they didn't go as far as they wanted to with their investments in Everton. You've wrote a little bit about them today and their potential involvement and then being able to maybe come back onto the scene a little bit in all this.
So that, and on April 15th, there was a maturity date for the loan they had with repayment. They provided 7-7 with an extension, reluctantly. What that has meant was, I mean, they would have been taking majority, they would have had the option for majority stake, but that would have been, wouldn't have been acquiring all Mashiri's stake. That would have just been, you know, 51% or whatever it was, okay, or whatever, to take the majority control threshold. Maybe they felt that wasn't favourable terms for them. Maybe they want, you know, I don't think they want to own a football club. Mm. I don't think they want to own Everton, certainly in its current state. But if you look at it from an investment standpoint, they are probably looking at this now thinking, how do we best protect the money we've sunk in this, our position for our own investors, because they're an investment firm. So that, again, they've got a group of investors who've invested in them to invest this money. Those investors expect a return. Is the best way to go about that just to stand, you know, idly by and do nothing and hope that it's not 777 and someone else comes in? Or do they take part in the game and try and clean the club up for 18 months, run it pretty tight, and then try and find an exit strategy in 18 months, 2 years? When the stadium's up and running, it's a viable business again, the stadium's an asset, so all those type of things, and then they look for an exit. I would argue that's probably the way they're thinking, and some of the noise I've heard certainly the past 24 hours would suggest that's in their thinking. I've thought it for a while because it has precedent, this type of thing. So AC Milan in 2021, possibly, I'm trying to think what they required. Yeah. And they used to be owned by a guy called Lee Yong Hong. He took out considerable loans to acquire AC Milan from Elliot Management, so a New York-based investment firm who MSB will know well. What happened with that situation was Yong Hong defaulted on his loan repayments to Elliott, and in order to protect their investment and stop the club sinking into liquidation, they decided to acquire the club. They cleaned it up. They had no experience in running a football club, whereas MSB doing by somewhere because they have minority sporting interest in other football clubs around Europe. So they did that, cleaned it up, turned it into a business again, a profitable one, and then they sold it to Red Bird Capital Partners for $1.2 billion in May of last year, or September of 2022, sorry. And they ended up loaning the money to Red Bird, half of the money to Red Bird, I think, to complete, which is called Vended.
Right.
So, so that's an example of how it works in these situations, because these investors don't want to lose this money. Yeah. It's they've got a lot at stake here, and they also have people in the building who can provide a level of operational control which would help guide Everton through this, because at the moment everything's interim, isn't it? You've got an interim CEO.
Sure.
Yeah. Everything's short term to get Everton through, and in likelihood the next ownership is going to be short term, albeit with a clear strategy and exit strategy, because I don't think MSB want to own the club long term. I don't. I think they probably were thinking, how are we the best people in this whole conversation to clean up this business and correct it, given the fact they've already got sporting investments through some of the clubs they've got in Europe, as well as Formula One through McLaren. They've got smarts, you know, they've got enough smarts in the building to probably be able to try and think they can pull that off. I don't think they want to, and I don't think there's a reason for the investment in the first place, but it may be their best course of action in terms of protecting not only the money they've invested, but creating a greater return for their investors by the time they do come to sell. And Premier League values are still going up. A lot of that's predicated on media rights, mostly internationally, still continue to rise because domestic ones are starting to plateau a bit. But valuations are still going up. And so they will bank on, if they can keep Everton a Premier League club with a new stadium and clean up its balance sheet, help it wash its face, then by the time they come to sell, maybe in 2 years' time, they'll make their money back and then some for their investors. So that's how they were looking at it. They won't be thinking, this is for the club, this is how best do we protect the money we've invested.
That situation you outlined does seem to make a lot of sense. But I'm sure there's people who are listening to this and watching this thinking, we've just gone through 8 months of waiting for, and listen, I think we all appreciate 777 are very complicated and there's reason for delays. But I'm sure there'll be people thinking, is it going to be that straightforward? If MSP come in, would they be able to come in and clean things up for 18 months and then move the club on? Or is the situation maybe where they could end up being Everton owners for a bit longer than they anticipated?
Potentially. I suppose it depends how long it takes to clean these things up. I mean, there is a myriad problems at Everton, but there's also potential for growth. I mean, North American owners in particular love having new stadiums as assets, and that's the big thing. So if you look throughout history and football history in England, so when people have come in, first port call has usually been to assess what's the stadium situation. So when Fenway Sports Group acquired Liverpool, one of the first things they did was acquire what happens with Anfield. Do they move to a new stadium build across Stanley Park or wherever? Do they reinvest in making Anfield bigger? And they've increased the capacity by, you know, 20,000, whatever. But Everton have already got a stadium which is close to completion and which will be a revenue generator. That's already a big box ticked for MSP, and that'd be one of the reasons why they invested in the first place. But there's no simple solution to Everton's problems because it's such a big hole they've dug themselves. Moshiri has dug. It's always important to kind of relay the fact that this isn't a club, isn't the sum of its parts. I mean, he's made some absolutely dreadful decisions with regards to the football club, and that's the reason why it finds itself in the position it does. Albeit some of it, not all of his own doing. Yeah, you know, we don't want to get down the whole rabbit hole of the kind of Russia and Ukraine, etc. But it's all impactful. There's no easy way of cleaning up a football club like Everton, because it's gonna take pain. I mean, it's been unbelievable that they've stayed up this season given what's happened and the amount that they stayed up so comfortably with games left. It's wild, really. And they're going to have to kind of, it sounds over, they're going to probably have to keep going to that well a little bit longer before things get better. But first and foremost, it needs a change of ownership and a start, to someone to find the path to get out of the problem, because at the moment, that hasn't happened. So as long as Mashiri remains indecisive about this, I mean, the 777, they haven't solved any problems. All they've done is exacerbate the problems which already existed because they've loaded additional debt on. Yes, there was working capital commitments they needed to have made, to have met, which 777 met, but Evan would have likely found that from other places if they had needed to, because the stadium was core to, you know, they've got other financiers there they could have gone to. But what it's done is kind of entrenched 7777. How many sevens?
It's hard to keep saying
it's too many sevens.
While,
you know, I can't.
I prefer doing 777. I think that rolls just, the tongue a little
there's
bit.
There's too many sevens. Too many sevens. Find a new name, lads. But yeah, there's so much to clean up there that it will take time. And they've not made that challenge any easier because the whole direction of travel is this is what will happen. It will be 777. And, you know, that's what it's going to be moving forward. But it's been apparent for a while now that it's not cut and dried. You know, the Premier League waved through deals far quicker than this. Some of them with, you know, you have to look at, the Ratcliffe one was fairly easy. It's a minority stake, less scrutiny. And also his track records in him. Is well known, but then obviously the Saudi PIF deal got waved through pretty quickly, and there's some big red flags over that when that arrived for obvious reasons. But there's obviously grave concerns inside the Premier League in terms of what happens here. So they tried to put roadblocks up, but I think that decision is going to be taken out of their hands soon anyway.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And just finally for me, and again, this might sound like a blunt question, but is that situation you outline now with MSP potentially coming in, cleaning things up, moving things on or not, you know, 2 years down the line, would you say that's a more ideal and beneficial situation for Everton as a club than what it would have potentially been like had 777 come in and took over and outlined the business plan that would have been sort of unfurled if they'd been custodians of the club?
Undoubtedly.
The MSP is much, yeah.
Undoubtedly. Because this is a football club. When you've got so much debt, and I mentioned at the top, when you have negative cash flow, you haven't really got a business model because you can't even, you're going to struggle to service debt. And there's no track record of them delivering this commercial, you know, uplift that they're going to see. That was just, you know, there was a lot of talk. I mean, it has to be fairly cold approach to what happens over the next 18 months, 2 years. Things will undoubtedly get better for Everton. They will, you know, it's not terminal decline.
Yeah.
But you only prolong the agony by you have to have the right people in place. Long term, I'm not saying MSP would be, but I think they'll become part of the conversation sooner rather than later. Are they the long-term solution? Probably not, but you're only going to get someone coming in and really wanting to change things for the better when this mess is cleaned up by someone, you know, and I don't think 777 would have cleaned up this mess. I think everything they do has been laden with debt, so everything is debt-financed. Everton finance to help. Where is the rest of it coming? And what happens if another court? What if they take over? Another court case arrives in 6 months' time, claiming more unpaid monies owed to other people. What happens if another pipeline of and potential financing is cut off, and Everton just become another one of their assets in their company? Which is at risk. That can't happen. It has to be taken away, that concern. There's been so much concern already around other areas of the club that it is no longer a viable solution for 777 Partners to acquire Everton, and it shouldn't be under consideration any longer.
Okay, we'll move on to some of the questions we've had on Twitter as well. I've got three here. First one from Peter Dodds,
who said, why would anyone buy Everton, given it has circa 600 million of debts with potentially a further 100 to 150 million to come, even with the income from Bramley Moore, it doesn't stack up economically. Is it just that what you said with MSP, focusing on them in particular, that they're in this now and they're trying to make the best out of what is not an ideal situation?
Yeah, I do. And football doesn't make economic sense as a business. None of it does. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. We live in, of all the Premier League clubs in the past 12 months, is it four made a profit? And one of those was Manchester City. And another being Brighton, who sold Moises Caicedo for $115 million to Chelsea. So, yeah, some clubs make profit, but the ones who do it either are Manchester City, and they won, you know, they won treble, and they've got massive wealth behind them, and Brighton are experts at player trading. Everyone else is losing money. You know, Liverpool lost money; they lost nine million or so, whatever it was. But yeah, there's no. You can't look at the P&L column and think that's how you're going to make money from the Premier League, because it's not. You make money from these businesses by keeping them valuable assets at a time when the US especially is coming onto the Premier League in a big way. They see major growth over the next 10 years. Asset values are rising. So what you're doing, all you're doing is investment. You're buying in a cost of acquisition, then you look to sell in 5, 6, 7, 8 years' time. That's just private equity, you know, which is why more and more private equity money floods into the Premier League, because values are going up. It won't go up forever, and musicals start slowing, and the signs are starting to slow now. So the rate of return isn't going to be as vast as what people think it is. So people always wonder why, you know, FSG would be involved with Liverpool, but they acquired it for 300 million. It's worth $4.5 billion now, you know. That's why the value lies in the value creation of in the future, and they're going to have a stadium as an asset, etc. They're not going to see that money coming back through a dividend every year. They'll see it when they sell the club eventually, and they'll try and do it before it hits the skids, the Premier League. I'm not talking Everton in particular. I'm talking the Premier League starts to hit the skids, and people find other things to do with their time, and things to subscribe and ways to watch sport, and value of media rights starts to diminish, and that's when the values rise. But that's not happened yet, so they're still on that.
Yeah.
And they'll try and get out while they're on the incline before they, you know, before they hit the decline. But that's how they'll make money from it.
A second question is from Michael Kersler, who said, when is this loan due to MSP due to be repaid, and will it give control more than 50%, like some suggested weeks ago? I mean, is that something that we just forget about?
Well, the loan was supposed to be 15th of April, and the extension they gave, from what we were told from the 777 side, was it was an extension of weeks, not months. So that could be a week and a half.
Yeah,
you know, but it won't be long. It's the window opportunity, I think, is very small for them, for even 777 to make this payment to MSP anyway, which I think is becoming more and more apparent that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and last question on this from Terry McAllister, who I believe you know well.
No, 20 years to Terry.
He said, with MSP's original buy-in to the club being...
Is your mum answering the question? It's a scholar.
It's with MSP's original buy-in to the club being blocked previously by rights and media funding, why would the same barrier not still exist for a hypothetical second attempt?
For the same reasons that rights and media funding, same reasons MSP want to protect their own investment, RMF will be looking at what is the best solution for them to protect theirs. And it probably isn't. They're probably not looking at 777 thinking that's the best protection for our investment. Nor is the club, you know, going into administration. So they will be looking for... They will back whatever is the most viable way forward for the club to create a firmer footing and to find some level of growth again in the not-too-distant future, whether that's MSP or someone else may come in and say, do you know what? Mashiri needs to get out. He wants to get out, and he's going to have to be accept a lower sum now than what he was going to, so maybe there's time for us to come in. Maybe those people come in, but they're going to have to show their hands soon, and they're going to have to go through due diligence, and they're going to have access to the books and the data room, which means that you go in there and you find all the scary things that exist in the closet, and then you decide whether you want to commit hundreds of millions of pounds to owning a football club. But I think they would back whatever is a solution which provides some level of whatever's more security for Everton in the short to medium term.
Good stuff. I'm going to ask you this last one as well from Jonathan Agar. They said, should the Premier League reject the 777 specifically because their exact team wear baseball caps with suits? Is that the most important factor to consider in all this?
Things didn't end well for Kendall Roy in succession. And he...
No spoilers if anyone's not watched it.
It did not... the man who wore the cap, it did not end well for. He didn't get the asset he wanted in the end. And it went to someone else. I don't know. Maybe there's something quite... No.
Yeah.
So that imitating life, is it? Yeah. I don't know. No, I don't think it was one of the caveats. They wasn't to stop him wearing a baseball cap. But, you know... Sorry, apologies for the succession spoilers, if given me. But, yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be an issue. But either way, I don't think it's going to be...
I think it's a show we can all
learn from. I think of all the list of things levelled against into the moment, I think it's probably at the bottom. But a good point, mate.
There we go. We'll leave it there. Hope everyone enjoyed that. I really appreciate Dave taking the time out to talk us through all that. A lot of fascinating insight. If you're watching us on YouTube after we've gone live, do leave us a comment. Let us know your thoughts. I'm sure the lads later in the week will pick it up on their podcast. If you're listening to us on iTunes or any of your other podcast platforms, do leave us a rating, do leave us a review. All these things help as we try and get the pod in front of more people as well. Thanks again to Dave. We'll be back later in the week to talk about some football, preview an Everton's game against Sheffield United. We'll catch you then.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.